Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Shadows of the Night Zone. This is Live Events. In the dead of night, when thy winter wounds shall not be healed from the wind which howls about your being. In the dead of night, when your friends have gone and you sit huddled by the castle's fire. In the dead of night, when all is dark, who will you be tonight? The following program is intended for entertainment and information purposes only. Although the Night Zone takes all precautions to bring you quality info, the Night Zone is merely the purveyor of information. You, the audience, shall judge the quality of information offered by our guests or host. We remind all of our listeners, KV at MTOR, ladies and gentlemen, the host calling out.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, madam and sirs, boys and girls, mes enfants. Welcome to another chapter of
Night Zone Radio.
It is Tuesday, April the 27th, 2010, and we are live. Tonight, we continue our review of the paranormal 2012 and the information bequeathed us from our ancestors. Each month we review at least one book hitting the shelves, and tonight is no exception. Synarchy, The Awakening. A plan is exposed, centuries in the making, and so sinister not even the legend himself could have predicted the depth of its impact on the world. In his lifetime, Stefano Terenzio has a merciless ambition for absolute power. Two generations later, the shockwave he ignited was still being felt. As the world inches closer to 2012, sides are chosen, families divided. An epic battle begins that will determine whether mankind continues to exist in a world of lies or shatters the chains that have held us prisoner since his story was written. This edgy novel, which covers the spectrum of emotions, shocking yet hopeful, Synarchy slowly unravels the tightly laced reality mankind has created for human consumption. Blending the metaphysical with conspiracy, fact with fiction, our guest tonight paints an ominous picture of a possible future created from the maniacal manipulations
of Stefano Terenzio.
Debut author DCS has opened up a world that will force you to rethink everything you believe about your own world. The knowledge within provokes a perplexing whodunit question.
DCS, author, broadcaster,
and now guest on the Night Zone. Next.
The following program is intended for entertainment and information purposes only. Although the Night Zone takes all precautions to bring you quality information, the Night Zone is merely the purveyor of information. You, the audience, shall judge the quality of information offered by our guests or host. We remind all of our listeners, KV at MTOR, you are in the Night Zone on blogtalkradio.com. Welcome to the Shadows of the Night Zone. Your host, Colin Knight.
And good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to a live edition of the Night Zone. We have with us tonight DCS. Namaste, DCS. Blessings on your household.
Namaste, Colin.
And we're glad you could make it to us. Glad you could come onto the show. Looked at the book. Got to tell you, you had me interested right from the little teaser about the possible New World Order Illuminati connection, and you didn't let me down.
Well, I'm glad, and I have to say that's one of the best introductions I've gotten so far. That was really quite awesome.
Oh, no, that's, you know, it's all part and quality of the Night Zone. We love to put things together that make it count. It's an interesting book. I have to say that the outline, the general story of Synarchy, The Awakening, you have a really good flow of the story building blocks that seem to pull you into that fiction, you know, of the main character. That's pretty decent. I'm very interested on how you did that.
Well, thank you. It's when I write, I see things in my head like the scenes of a movie, and that's really how I write. So when I get done with a novel, I tend to have a whole lot of scenes just kind of floating around that I'll push together, and this goes there and that goes there, so it kind of ends up being like a puzzle to me just to fit together. But it's fun. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah, it's well, you most definitely put it into that, you know. Well, I have to find out what this guy's about. And then you start figuring out what he's about, and then suddenly this something from right field comes at you, and you find out it was connected 5 years earlier from something he'd done or created or started. It's like, oh my goodness, like it's very. It's a very deep thread, and it makes a nice change. We read a lot of books in the Night Zone, and we get a lot of stuff coming through, and a lot of it is really good stuff, but some of it is pretty basic, and you are definitely not basic. So your strong presence of the New World Order theory, did that just come about as a storyline, or was that something that kind of tweaked your attention when you were writing?
It actually came about through some research that I was doing, just kind of for my own personal curiosity. Also, through some of the crazy things that I have read, I decided that I was going to go ahead and take this urge that I had to write and kind of stick it all in a story and see if I couldn't help but maybe just educate some people, too.
Yeah. Because we have done New World Order shows, and I got to tell you, they're chilling. The reality of them are chilling. They truly are. Are any of the characters based on any model, politician, diplomat, world leader, any composites of those?
Excuse me, no, nothing like that. No. No, they're all fictional characters that are running around in my head or created by people that I know. So, but not no world leaders, anything like that. Maybe in the third or fourth book.
Right. Well, I know I kind of associated to, you know, how you feel the character out, and I associated certain people to certain characters, and I have to tell you that once you kind of play that political chess game, you know, you can fit that. You can fit your show to your book to a very interesting model about what's happening in this world today.
Yes, and that's kind of what I wanted to do. I wanted to kind of paint a picture that could really mirror our own world. And I love hearing reader feedback, so I love hearing that, you know, people are taking, you know, certain characters of the book and attaching, you know, certain faces to them. That's cool. It's nice to hear.
Well, I think it puts a little bit more reality into the reading, like, because you can associate, you know, with stuff you've heard about the guy, or blah, 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 you know, like, I'll say one of the characters gave me very much of John McCain. How's that? Now, that'll twist your mind too, but you know, and interesting stuff. I think you've managed to do that that mixing. When you're thinking it's fiction, suddenly it's pretty darn close to the facts, and it's like, holy cow, you know, that tied in tight.
Yes.
So
Go ahead.
I was going to say, how did you learn to do that? Have you taken any professional writing courses or anything like that?
No, actually, I haven't. I have not. I've just always been a writer. I didn't always take myself seriously as a writer, but I have always written. So I kind of just gave this a shot, and here's what came of it.
Right. And of course, it's only the first of many, because I know you have a couple of others coming up, which we'll tease you with it a little later and see if we can get you to tell us more about it. So when did this idea just come to your head for Synarchy? When did you think, well, I'm going to sit down and write a book about this?
It would have been, so we're going on 2 years ago, a little more than 2 years ago. 3 years ago, actually. It took me about a year to write it, so about 3 years ago. Synarchy was the culmination for me of a spiritual journey, and then the earth that every writer has to write. So I was just at a point in my life where I was making changes, and I was learning a lot of new, good information, and I wanted to share it. So I didn't want to just entertain my readers. I wanted to maybe educate them, too. And fiction's a great way to throw these ideas out there, because it's almost like it's more of an acceptable means for the brain to kind of wrap your mind around it. You know, it's not some expert, you know, shouting things at you. It's kind of, you know, in the pages of fiction. So if you're, you know, if you're feeling one topic or something resonates with you, you can go look it up, and no harm done, because you can always fall back on the topic that, hey, it's just fiction.
Right. Yeah. Fiction is a good genre to test the waters with, I must admit. But the book in itself, when I first heard about it and decided to look into it, and the guys were telling me to check it out because they thought it'd be a good show and what have you, I wasn't quite sure if I wanted to go there. If it was, I can't explain it, but I have a really hard time with fiction in the paranormal realm, because there's a lot of BS out there, and a lot of people, you know. But when I started reading it, and I have to say that with you bringing the reality and the fiction and mixing it in the way you did, every John Doe out there would get that opinion, that feeling of how that book progressed. It was very naturally done, and I was very curious. You say no professional writing skills, but my lord, you must have picked up that flavor, that thread somehow. It must have come from something that you did. Do you
have
kind
of gene in me or something?
Well, maybe you got channeled and you don't even know it. You know. Have you ever looked into past life regression or anything like that?
I have. I'm very fascinated by past life regression, so that's definitely it's a big thing on my to-do list that I'd really love to do one day and see and take a peek. Maybe I was a writer in a previous life too. It certainly wouldn't surprise me.
Yeah, maybe so. You know, because I always think that people's talents are, I don't know, I can't say generational, because that would mean mother, father, but I think they are just given over and over and over again to a certain style of belief or person. I think that's how it works, because David Baker, psychic medium, the man is absolutely amazing. There is no way he could be who he is,
right,
without some kind of divine intervention. And reading your book, the same thing. You pulled me in, and I've read a lot of NWO and mystery and all of that, but you successfully pulled me into the storyline. And professionals out there, DCS, would kill to have that talent.
Oh, well, thank you very much. I love hearing that people read it and love it. It's a great feeling to hold a finished product in your hand, but an even greater feeling to hear your readers go like, wow, I really like that. So that's very awesome.
Yeah.
Thank you.
No problem at all. So how does one go about creating Synarchy? How long did it take you to completely flesh out the story from the moment you decided, I'm going to write a book? How long did it take?
It took me a year. I was working a full-time job for the first part of it, and then some circumstances changed and allowed me to really focus on my writing. And then I was really able to like knuckle down and get it done. But it takes a lot of research, a lot of index cards. I'm a stickler for the research and the index cards, and making sure that all my timelines had matched up and characters are doing this, that, and the other. So. It was a lot of work. It was, but it was really fun. I love creating worlds like that. I really just get immersed into it, and I'll just spend days just in my head. So.
Yeah, I can relate to that for sure. I got caught up a few years ago, and I can't even remember what the SimCity 2000 or something like that was called. And I started building railroad tracks and power plants, and I got right into it.
Oh, that's fun.
Yeah.
I have this other computer game I play called Civilization, and it's like that. You can just build worlds, and if you're not ready to commit like 6 hours to this, don't even bother playing. So I completely understand.
Yeah. But it was amazing, because then you started to have to deal with taxes and mill rates and bonds, and it was an education. I'll tell you, it was an education. But I just. With the paranormal and the world in general, I think a lot of times we're scared to come across that threshold of fiction and paranormal, because there's been so much garbage along the ways about the paranormal, and I think that makes it difficult at times. But with a book that has a thread such as yours, for instance, you employ the metaphysical, the 2012, the style of events to dramatize the book, and It just fascinates me to know how long you've been interested in the paranormal or in the 2012. Have you always had that flavor in your life?
I have always been interested in the paranormal. I'm a Scorpio, so we love the unexplained things. We love the mystery. So those kinds of things have always fascinated me. You want to know more. I remember reading all kinds of books about who made the pyramids and things like that. So it was kind of just a natural transition for me from once I decided to move into, you know, my topic of spirituality to kind of, you know, float along in those waters and see the information that I picked up. So, and I really didn't know anything about the 2012 phenomenon until I started, you know, researching for the book. And then I was like, all right, well, this is kind of cool. So I try to throw, you know, some factual information in there along with the theory. So it was very important for me as I was picking through the information, you know, what to put in the book, because, as you know, there's so much out there.
Yeah.
So hopefully I've gave my readers a good kind of, you know, background or starting point if they wanted to, you know, look into some of this more in depth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it definitely makes you do that, because like I told you just before the show, you know, I had to check the definition just to make sure I was understanding where you were going, you know, with the book. I checked the definition of your title first, and it was like, oh, this might have something, you know? And then before you know it, you're deep in the story and you can't get out. Like, it was on my bedside table for weeks. I just couldn't drop it, you know? Like, it was amazing. Have you ever experienced any paranormal events yourself?
No, I have not. I've recently begun being more aware, more conscious of kind of the flow of energy, the transfer of energy that can happen between people. I wasn't very sensitive to that sort of thing. I was normally very nonchalant, kind of closed-off sort of person. So I'm slowly opening myself up to those sorts of things, and it's fun. It's fun. It's interesting. You know, it's a learning experience. It's very cool.
Yeah. Last year I had Eileen Smith, a Reiki master, what do you say in the American?
Uh-huh.
Reiki master?
Yeah, you got it.
Reiki, okay. I call it Reiki, but Reiki master.
And I would
Eileen,
too.
Yeah. Eileen.
I'm notorious for pronouncing things wrong, though.
you should hear me try and do some Middle East names and say, oh, good Lord, it's not good. But anyway, she was explaining the Reiki theory of the universal code and what have you, and the universal code in my eyes is the more I understand it, the more massive it becomes, and the more intricate it becomes. We are affected in such ways that we're only just starting to realize it, I think.
Absolutely. I think we're just starting to kind of remember. I think for a long time we've forgotten, and then now it's really starting to make a serious headway back to us, which is a good thing, because I think that we can solve a lot of these problems playing the world with this kind of you know, awakening.
I think so too. And John Hogue on the show last year, he made a really good statement. He said the next section of life is not about looking, it's about knowing.
Yes.
We are going to
yes,
know.
I like that.
I like that, that feeling that we are going to finally know. We are not alone. We did have divine intervention from a universal force and what have you. And the more, like I say, the more you listen and the more you understand of what's going on. And that's why I like your book, because of that. Because it does, from out of nowhere, it just grabs you and reminds you that 2012, you know, and then lets you go again for a while, and you know, and it's like, and it all keeps coming back in, you know, and it's very much like the Nostradamus effect. And have you ever followed anything of Nostradamus?
I have. I've watched some of those fear mongering History Channel specials, but they were interesting. Did
fear,
I watch some of those? Yeah, he's another fascinating topic of absolutely. He was
Fear-mongering history specials. I like that. Yeah, they do. They do tend to, make it pretty daunting. They don't never look at the positive side of the Nostradamus quatrains.
Oh, no,
and there is a positive. There is a positive side, and they just don't do it. But did you have any 2012 influences as you were growing up? Was there anybody in your family that was, you know, or what was that?
No, my family thinks I'm crazy.
Okay.
No, they are. They're very supportive, but no, there was just nothing like that. I mean, my topics just range from, you know, the fun, unexplained topics that people kind of, you know, toy around with, and then I really just decided to take my research a lot deeper. And it's, you know, the more you read about certain stuff, the more that, you know, it just kind of makes sense, and you're like, well, all right, so we're going to have to give this a shot.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I know the past 10 years, I was oblivious to 2012 and the likes up till about 10 years ago. And why, I don't know, but the more I got into it, the more reality kind of clung to it, you know? And I think that even though your book is built around a fictitious character and fictitious storyline, that the stark thread of the reality of it is pretty darn impressive. Now I'm wondering, how did you find that hook? Like, how did it just grow as the storyline was growing with you, or was that hook there at the beginning and you built to the hook? You understand what I'm trying to say?
Absolutely. It really was in the beginning, because when I sat down to write this, I said, all right, if we're going to put this information in there, I wanted to tell the whole picture. And I'm kind of, problem solver, puzzle solver. I love doing that. So I was reading this and I was reading that, and then, you realize people only cover, one side of it, or somebody's just talking about government conspiracy theories, and this person's just talking about spirituality, and he's only talking about the Illuminati. And as I was doing my research, I was like, well, no, I'm seeing kind of a link here. So if I'm going to paint a picture of the world, let's paint a big one, not only pointing out, some of the apparent problems and reasons for people to kind of awaken and, maybe move on to different paths, but, a practical and I think very powerful way to solve them. So I wanted to make sure that I had both of those in there.
Yeah. I just got a Twitter message. It's Synarchy ? I guess somebody's saying, what the heck is Synarchy? Well, best thing to do is go to, what can I say, I did it, so I guess I should too, eh? Go to Google and S-Y-N as in Nancy, A-R-C-H as in hotel, Y as in Yankee, Synarchy. Synarchy amounts to government by secret societies. Members holding positions of open or covert influence in government, economy, religion. The idea in general, totalitarian. Theocracy, meaning the rule of the priesthood, is not far from synarchy. And that's Given that theocracy is not far from synarchy, we're going to take a little break and do a reset here. And when we come back, we'll get into the depths of what that could be all about. How's that sound?
Sounds great.
We'll be right back.
It's time to take a quick station break, and we'll be right back. We're in the Night Zone on blogtalkradio.com. Phone lines are open, 347-324-3287, 347-324-3287.
The ancient Sumerian text, just in a very broad overview, basically tell us that these Anunnaki came from space and landed on the Earth in the Tigris-Euphrates Valley. They began to set up a colony that they called Eden.
Night Zone Radio is a research tool for those who wish to investigate, understand, and become informed on paranormal activity. The following information is presented in good faith as we continue to seek the truth, thinking outside of the box. And we remind all listeners, KVNMTOR, your host, Colin Knight.
Wow, and I sure am glad that the washroom isn't any further away. Otherwise, we could have had a very embarrassing moment about now. But, so I'm back live, and I do have with me DCS. DCS, I'm really glad that you could make it tonight. Talking about your book, Synarchy. And when we left off, we kind of twidged on the fact that theocracy could actually be synarchy. It is the convergence of free will against business. So,
Yes, it could. A fun thing about the term synarchy, too, is it was coined by a famous occultist, Alexander Weiss, Saint Weiss, I believe his name was. And he actually took the definition a little farther, and not only was synarchy ruled by secret government, but he believed that the government was being controlled by beings from a land called Shambhala. Mm-hmm. So when I read that, too, I was like, oh, it's perfect for the book. It's got to be the title.
Right.
I don't even remember how I stumbled upon the word synarchy, to be completely honest.
Yeah. The interesting thing about it is, if you ever go searching on Cynarchy, look for Julius Evola and read some of that work, and that will just, that is right in line with where and who you are and what you're talking about in your book. And although it's a totally different genre they use, the composites are impressive, and your book fits in there with the best of them. And I'm not blowing smoke, you know, this is... Night Zone, we don't do that. We tell you the way it is. And I got to tell you the way it is that it's a very interesting book. It really puts life and fiction together in a very nice, comfortable layering, if you will. Now, how did you... Did it just become natural for you to do it this way? Or did you have some kind of a model or a pattern to follow? I'm just curious, if you don't have any professional experience, how did you thread that together so well? It fascinates me.
I can't take too much credit for the creative process. It just kind of just flowed. That's just how I write.
Right.
Like I said, the story just, you know, started pouring out of me, and then I just wanted to make sure that I was, you know, putting key details in and, you know, having fun creative worlds and building the tension and all that kind of stuff. So, and then at the end, you know, I put every scene down on an index card, and I made sure that, you know, crossed my T's and dotted my I's and threw it out there, see how well it would go. And I actually didn't realize how complex I had made the novel until I started getting feedback from people. I was like, really?
Oh, really? Yeah.
Keep in mind for the second book, you know, things that people found confusing or this, that, and the other. So it's been really fun.
The only thing that caught me off guard was the use of the past to set up the story of the present, which is a pretty well a standard way of bringing a story to life, but in the way you did it was much different than what most people do. And I'm not going to flesh that out, because obviously we want these people to pick up the book. I mean, this is the name of the game, you know. So if you notice, I am not fleshing it out as tightly as possible. People should probably like me to do tonight, but reason being is because the book is worth reading. And if you go through the book and then you come back to the Night Zone and pick up shows like Al Kay, New World Order, Tim McKay, Bible Prophecies, Nostradamus, John Hogue, and you go through those shows again, and it's like, oh my God, oh my goodness, oh wow, you know.
And that is so the reaction I wanted.
It's a good journey. It really is, especially for myself, who gets to interview these people. And as I'm reading it, I'm saying, oh, my God, I got to tell John about this. Oh, gee, look at this. You know, you've definitely got my interest for the next book. So what kind of a series are you looking at here? Are you going into the future, or are you going to stay in the present in the next book, do you think?
The next book will stay in the present. The next book pretty much picks off where book one, I Leave You Hanging in book one. It's a Cynarchy book to these things. Probably around June it will be done. I'm finishing up the final touches of it with my editor right now. So it's written, and I'm really excited about it. I really can't wait to share this one with people. So it's got a little more of the sci-fi aspect into it. So I really had a lot of fun writing that one. And when I'm done with book two, three and four will actually be the stories of two of the main characters in the book, Liliana Terenzio and then Stefano Terenzio's individual story. And then after that, we'll probably jump to about 75 years or so into the future. So six novels right now in my head in total, but that could change.
Oh, no, that's great if you're ahead of the game, that's for sure. And for those people that are listening out there in the big internet land, if we drop signal a little bit tonight, I do apologize. We are remote. We are not on home base tonight. And my laptop is good, but the internet line I'm feeding out of, I'm a little bit concerned about, because, you know, my company didn't want to spend a lot of money. What can I say? but anyway, so if there is a sound loss, I do apologize. It may happen once in a while. We'll try and make sure it doesn't stay up and cause too much interference. So you're also a paranormal host on Paranormal 101?
Yes, yes, that is correct. Paranormal 101, the founder is that is Steve O'Ryan. He's still around, but he interviewed me one evening, and we had a really great connection, so he asked me if I would take over the Saturday night spots on his show, and absolutely. So that's been a lot of fun, too.
Impressive, for sure. Definitely, you know. Nothing better than being given a show, that's for sure. Especially with the information that you need, to get out there regarding Sanaki. I mean, it's an area of interest in a lot of people. I think they don't realize Sanaki might be the new word for them, but I think the general what is happening and who is doing what to who. I think many people are starting to open up their eyes and look at this. Have you seen a trend over the last 7-8 years for sure, that I have seen regarding the financial industries, how they are being manipulated into positioning?
Oh, absolutely. Without question. Without question, it is. And you're right. Some of these shows that you do about these kinds of things, it can be very scary. Because, you know, you realize just how big it actually is and, you know, how encompassing. So it can almost be overwhelming. So I understand if people are hesitant to pick up my book. But don't worry, you're still going to like it.
No, it's definitely worth the pickup. And now, I don't know what it's showing as Amazon up in the United States, but I think it's in paperback, it's about $15 Canadian. So it's, it's a good book. I mean, it's an airplane read. It's, it's a great piece of work for sure. Now, when you see these connections, do you see it as New World Order, or do you see it as Illuminati? Or is there something that we really haven't got to the understanding of yet? Where do you see that coming from?
I think that I almost think the name of it is material. You could almost just call it they, and have it right. I think that a lot of people probably have bits and pieces of the puzzle. Excuse me.
Right.
I think a little bit of it probably is Illuminati. You could call them the New World Order. You could say that the Anunnaki has a hand in it. You could say that some of them are Freemasons. I'm sure that they're.
Right.
I haven't. When you get to a conspiracy, for lack of a better word, this wide, I'm sure that there are a lot of different players in there. So,
yeah, I'm just wondering who's orchestrating the whole thing, because in everything that I have read regarding New World Order and what have you, there is that outer world, there is that off-world injection to us, you know?
You
see that connection all the time, and I'm just trying to nail it down. I interviewed a couple of guys from England live. They were like, I had to do it in the afternoon for them. And so it was real weird timing for me, but nobody knew we were doing the interview. It was a secret interview about some paranormal UFO stuff that was happening in England. And right from the get-go, they lost their cell phone connections. I couldn't get the communication. I couldn't get the link up. Skype wouldn't play fair. The internet would go down. I mean, it was just wild. For like 2.5 hours, we tried to get this interview done. And it just wasn't there. And I have to wonder, are there influences on the internet making sure that certain information doesn't go out? What do you think?
I think it's very possible. I wouldn't doubt it. I mean, to say it's beyond, the technology would be silly to say. And a lot of people have had those same type of coincidences, and I don't really believe in coincidences that much, so I think it's certainly possible.
No, I follow the George Noori rule. There are no such thing as coincidences. The universal code is too perfect for that to really take place. Unless you go into that old-fashioned chaos theory, and then, of course, all bets are off. But, coincidence just doesn't happen. You meet somebody that you haven't seen for, eons, and you have no real reason of meeting up with them, but you do. Or you meet somebody you've never met before, and you have that instant that you've known them all your life. Those are not coincidences. Those are signals and information, and somebody is putting those connections back together, like a neural net, if you will,
Absolutely. I think people have those synchronistic moments all the time. I think a lot of people aren't aware of them. They almost don't even notice. It's kind of just, brushed off as, So I think it happens to people more, definitely more than they realize. So I mean, that force is always there, kind of trying to help us out a little bit, guide us in certain directions. So.
Yeah, I think I think you got something there. I think there is a guiding system, whatever it is. David Baker, a psychic medium, talks about having a guide that, you know, gives him advice of how to see this and do that and what have you. And it's a fascinating combination. And again, going back to Reiki with Eileen Smith, she said, that the Archangel Gabriel and Michael. And all of those, they're all there, available for everybody to summon and call and to use, their energies and powers. And the more you look at it, the Old Testament of the Bible, if you take out the religious aspect and you hold off that word God, you can read that book completely different as an understanding of what life should have been like and what the cataclysms of life was when we broke the code, when we didn't become that thing. You know, do you ever get those connections on your show when you're talking with people regarding that synchronicity, if you will, that they had a calling at the same time that somebody else had a calling? Does it ever come together and weave together like a thread?
Absolutely. All the time. In fact, it just happened to me recently. So yeah, very, very frequently. And that's one of the things that I love about being a host. As much as I like just being able to sit back and let you do all the work here tonight, Colin.
That's fine. That's fine with me. It's great when everything works, right? It's when it doesn't work. Like, you know, you've got a sound like you want to give.
Over guests and topics and I understand.
It can get very, very frustrating. You know, especially when Blog Talk doesn't cooperate or one of the other technologies we use doesn't cooperate, it can, you know, that flop sweat can build quite quickly, you know, and it's, you got to think quick on your feet. Now, with this this book, it's out on Amazon. Do you have it on your website as well?
I have links to where you can go on the website. You can get it on Amazon in paperback or in Kindle edition. And then it's also offered on offthebookshelf.com. You can get it in PDF format and then download it into any e-reader you choose to use. So if you don't have Kindle, you have like a Sony or what that and the other, you can get it there as well.
Okay, so what's the best way for them to get to your site so they can jump off and make you a millionaire?
That would be wonderful. I just want to write all the time. That's really just what it comes down to. I don't have to go to the silly hotel job that I go to every day. I just want to write. But you can find me at themindofdcs.com.
Themindofdcs.com. Oh, there we go. I see it coming up in virtual studio. Yep, themindofdcs.com. That's one word, themindofdcs.com. And all of the links are up there that can influence and send them over into the right places so that they can actually get their bit done. Now, this Stefan Terenzio, how did you come up with that character? Like, what? How did you use that character as the anchor or the kickoff point to the book?
Stefano Terenzio is one of my most fun creation. I've been involved for many, many years, actually, in a text-based role-playing. And basically, it's just a whole bunch of writers who get together and kind of just, you know, instead of writing a book, we throw storylines, ideas around, and we kind of, you know, write them that way. So it's got a very back-and-forth flow of information. And he was created in that medium completely separate from everything I was doing with Synarchy. So when I decided to sit down and write the book, I was like, well, I've got this really awesome family from this sort of creative writing project, so why don't I take them and insert them into the book and twist some things around and... I'm really, really pleased with the way it worked out. That was a lot of fun.
And what was Stefano based on, anyone or anything? Because he seems too real to be just a fictional character.
That is great. I love hearing that. But no, he is just another little voice in my head.
Well, I think there's a Stefano Terenzio out there somewhere. Because
that would
like
God
I say,
help the world.
Wouldn't that be funny, eh? Wouldn't that be funny? This guy's strutting around. But anyway.
have a conversation with him.
Wouldn't that be kind of an interesting... No, I'm really not part of the book, I swear. I knew nothing about it. Hopefully he didn't divulge too many secrets of Stefano so that he doesn't have to crawl under a rock somewhere. Mind you, I wish maybe he would crawl under a rock after reading the book, but, you know. There are...
very possible.
Yeah, really. But there's so much information out there, DCS, that I think people that have the ability to write, such as yourself, it's amazing to me that information hasn't come forward or hasn't been put together in such a way such as you did. In a book that I've read in recent memory, and I've read a lot of books. So given that, do you see a possibility of expanding your book work? In other words, you know, would you be open to a script writer jumping on that for a... maybe a grade B or even a premium movie? Would that bother you at all?
Not at all. I would absolutely love that. I'd love to see this in HBO series form. I can provide them with plenty of material for at least a couple of seasons or just a flat-out movie. That'd be phenomenal.
Yeah, it would, definitely. And the reason I say that is because I was shocked the other night. I received an email on another guest, something totally off record here, but... And they were very fascinated with the person's abilities and what have you, and wanted to, they asked permission if they could get his phone number and all of that stuff. And I said, well, I'm sorry, we don't give guests phone numbers or contact information out, but you can go mm-hmm. to the website. And from whatever they do from your website is up to them, right? Yeah, that's
right.
That's my theory of it all. And apparently the person made connection and... And this one book that's coming out, which hasn't even made paperback yet, this guy is going to pick it up and he's going to try and do some kind of a miniseries. I don't know the whole genre. So you never know who's listening out there at DCS. There could be, you know, Steven Spielberg could be out there, or there could be, you know, could be anybody.
That'd have to be a really, really very unique contract, because if they made it into a movie and I didn't like it, I would have to scrap the whole movie.
Maybe I'm waiting
for just that right director to find my book.
Yeah. they would just buy your rights and you would have no say about it, probably. They'd make you an executive producer for content, but you really
uh-huh.
wouldn't have the power. They if they gave you the dollars, they would, you know, they'd make sure that they controlled the whole shebang. You know what I mean? Like I was Yeah, it does. And that's why I was asking you that, because I would have concern. It's like giving birth to a child and then suddenly comes along and says, well, here's $10 million. I want your child.
Right.
Do you know it? You know, obviously you're not going to give up your child, but that's $10 million down the tubes, you know? Can we not rent him? Like, do you want to rent him? You know? I'll keep it, but, you know, you can have him for 2 days a week. You know, can we work something out? But the $10 million, yeah, you know? What I'm saying is that you do tend to lose complete control over the thread once you have gone commercial, so to speak. So
very true. And there are some very sensitive themes in my novel, so I'd have to. It'd be a very interesting contract to be sure, because I mean, you can't. I really wouldn't want those dumbed down for the sake of people's sensibilities. I mean, you do it raw, you don't do it. You know
exactly.
So.
And that's always the problem, because they look through it and they say, oh, you can't link this to religion. Oh no, you can't. You can't put a culture on this. You know, this isn't a type of person. You know, you can't call him dark skinned, or you can't call him blue eyed, or you know. And
right.
And people get
very
sensitive. So, did you have to go through that filter system while you were consciously writing it, knowing that you possibly might stumble, you know, with either a cultural or a religious issue?
No, not at all. I actually invite those types of controversies, because then it gets people talking about it. You know, then all of a sudden it's open discussion. I mean, I can have a dialogue with anybody and then, you know, not have a problem. So, I mean, if you're at least willing to discuss it, I think that's an awesome step in the right direction. So if I have, you know, made somebody angry or offended someone with something I wrote in Sonarchy, well, why? You know, let's have that conversation and see if I, you know, cause my intention is definitely not to offend anyone, but I am here to educate, and I don't believe that, you know, us tiptoeing around some of these issues is going to cut it anymore. So somebody needs to say it, and I said it.
And I think it also opens up those avenues of thinking outside of the box, because too often we we tend to sit within those rules and regulations and not peek over them and realize that the rule is silly or the regulation doesn't work.
Right.
You know, we tend, you know, many people just tend to sit within the confines of what the government or what society tells them they are and they can be. And that's what, again, just going back to Sunaki, the book, that's what the book does for me, is that it breaks out of those genres of, oh yeah, okay, it's fiction, yeah, it's about, oh yeah, you know, breaks out of all of that game, and it keeps you chapter to chapter, it keeps you in that linkage of, well, you know, yeah, that could work, that I could see how that is, or that would be, or, you know, and I think that's important, is to keep the reality, even in fiction, to keep the reality in place, so that the reader can stay with the storyline, especially for the next book, because it's important that the hook is there for the next book.
Yes. I'm so excited about the second book. I just am. I just can't wait for people to read it.
Well, I'm gonna tease a little bit here because I gotta know, because I've read the first book.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, like, can you give it just a little nibble, maybe, of the?
Well, I tell you, Colin, there are little. I do put sneak peeks of my writing in completely raw, unedited form up on my blog page, so you can find some sneak peeks from book two up there as well. But like I said, it really just picks up the triplet story where it left off. I kind of set, you know, a lot of background information in book one and book two. We're going to get into the throwdown. So you're going to see a lot more of certain characters, and Archangel Michael's in there. I make reference to all kinds of things in the second book.
Well,
it really was fun, yeah.
If Michael's there, then I'm going to be there, because Archangel Michael has surrounded me with his love and kindness for a number of years and brought me through some very dark and deep and dank places. So, That's a nice connection to it too. So when you're talking about angels and you're talking about the other realms, when you were writing, did you feel any connection with anything? Was there anybody that was leading you in a direction that helped you write this book?
I'm not sure. I'm sure there was. I, you know, a lot of people when they're stuck in that creative flow and you're really, you know, you're connected and you're feeling it. I have no doubt that you're probably tapping into some higher power, whether it's just your higher self or your spirit guides. Or, I mean, I'm pretty sure that Archangel Michael's pretty much always had my back. So possibly, and I hope I did justice to the way that I retold some stories. So, if you thought book one was offensive, you know, boy, I'm getting a lot of trouble for book two.
Well, I offensive, I wouldn't say. I'd say it's edgy, definitely edgy, and it definitely pushes you, you know, it makes you challenge your own understandings. So that's why I call it edgy, because it does push people out of the comfort zone.
And, you know, I hope people, you know, some of the things that they read in the book, you know, you don't have to take my word for it on my blog, because I'm more nonfiction on my blog, and then on the radio show and that sort of thing, you know, I try to bring in guests that help to teach us, you know, certain truths and all that kind of stuff. But, you know, I tell people, you know, you don't believe me. In fact, I want you to think I'm a complete liar. Go find out for yourself. I mean, if that's, you know, one thing that I could motivate you to do is you flip through Sunaki and you saw a word or something and you were like, well, that could be interesting, and then you started and you were on Google all day long, you know, just reading things.
Yeah.
That would be, you know, phenomenal.
Oh, yeah. Most definitely. And you know, there are people that do their research, such as you did with the cards and everything. And, you know, you have to have those threads that work. And when they work, they work. And when they don't, it just makes for a cheap novel, right?
That's it.
You know?
It.
So, yeah.
It worked.
Well, I don't know if it was luck or you know, divine intervention or whatever you want to call it. I really don't know how you would put that together, but it worked, and that's what counts. So, I tell you what, we're just going to do a 50-second here. I just got I guess I should have done these things called adverts. I'll be right back.
347-324-3287. 347-324-3287. You are in the Night Zone on blogtalkradio.com. Phone lines are now open. 347-324-3287. 347-324-3287. Welcome to the shadows of the Night Zone. 2012 is speculated to be the end of the world based on the Mayan calendar and other sources. If you are worried or unsure about it, then some uncommon sense, along with a literal Bible prophecy breakthrough, may help. Tim McHyde, in the Night Zone. Watch for the listings.
Welcome to the shadows
of the Night Zone. 347-324-3287. 347-324-3287. Your host, Colin Knight.
And with 10 left on the show clock, we have with us DCS tonight with the book Synarchy. And, you know, feel free to Google Synarchy, because a lot of people are saying, what is Synarchy? What does it mean? What's it all about? So head up to Google, S-Y-N-A-R-C-H-Y, Synarchy, or Synergy, whichever makes people happier, and check it out, and then go over to DCS's, themindofdcs.com, and check out the links, and have a look at the book, Synarchy, The Awakening. And the new book is out, you said, out by June. That's pretty soon.
It should be out by June. That's the date I'm shooting for, so.
Are we having a launch party?
I think we should.
I you know, it would be my absolute honor to come out to Paranormal 101 and have a launch party with you when the book's ready on a Saturday night.
Well, fabulous, Colin. You know what? Then we'll do that. It's a date.
I think we should do that. So you let me know when you're going to do this on a Saturday night. However, I do warn you that I am out of town mid-May till the end of May in the evening, so I won't be around on the weekends either. But so let's try and get it into the first part of June or something, and have a launch party on Paranormal 101 for what is the title for the next book?
It's a Synarchy Book 2, The Ascension.
The Ascension. Now there, you see, I'm already reading the book, The Ascension. Okay, going up, the ascension, out of off the earth, going universal. You know, you got me. You see, I'm absolutely addicted.
I love it. Well, then, Colin, you're gonna get one of the first copies. Don't you worry.
Oh, God bless your little soul. You know, I've only spent 53 minutes fishing for the next copy. So, you know, like that, I appreciate that very, very much.
no problem.
we'll put that. Let's put that together and get everybody. You know, the Night Zone crew come over there and party up a storm and have a launch party. And you can tease us and tantalize us with all kinds of stuff that might be in the book. But
great.
You know, you're gonna get some pushback from the theory of the theocracy, meaning Millard, as far as Synarchy is concerned, especially with all of the religious influences and arguments that are going on in almost every religion now in the world regarding, you know, is there a God? Is there a power? Is there a code? People tend to pick up on the negatives as much as possible. So, you know, you will get some nudging, but I think the book in general definitely holds water. And with that said, I'll just go over it one more time just to make sure everybody knows how to get there. Head over to themindofdcs.com, and DCS has the links there to the book, and it is available through Noble, and it's SVT Publishing, right? That's
my self-publishing company that I put together. So. Mm-hmm.
Right. But it is available. I'd give them the ISBN number, but I'd probably lose them in transition. But
Amazon, and it's on off the bookshelf, so there you go.
There you go. Amazon.com and off the bookshelf for that's the PDF ebook, right?
Yes.
Fabulous. Fabulous. DCS, it's been an absolute pleasure talking to you, and I got to tell you, I did enjoy listening to some of your Paranormal 101 shows, because I wanted to know who you were.
Well, great. I'm glad you enjoy.
I did, sir. It's been an absolute pleasure. Thank you very much for coming to the Night Zone tonight.
Thank you so much for having me on call. I really had a good time.
Great. You take care of yourself, and we'll talk to you again.
Absolutely.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, DCS, from the mind of DCS.com, a book called Synarchy. It's a very fascinating read, and I think you'll find that there's more down the pike on this storyline. I think they are they're very well put together. It's a very well put together book, and I think you'll find that the upcoming books will just get stronger and stronger because the storyline is real, but it's not. Hard to explain. Look, for $15, okay. $15 lousy dollars. Go to Amazon, pick up a paperback. At least here in Canada we can. $14.95 plus tax. So it's for just over $15. So it's worth it. So pick up the book. Have a read. And if it works for you, it works for you. If it doesn't work for you, let me know. And let DCS know. Because there's more coming. More coming down the pike. And watch for all of the promo. We'll give some promo on the launch party over at Paranormal 101 for the next chapter, The Ascension. The Ascension. Now, you see, there's a storyline right there. I'm imagining what The Ascension is all about, and I got to wait till June. What's with that, huh? It's been an absolute blast, ladies and gentlemen, but we do have to get out of here. As usual, we are always banging up against time, and because I didn't do my time breaks the way I was supposed to do it, I ended up with all kinds of Goomba, so I gotta get out of here.
Ask not what your country can do for you, ask what you can do for your country.
There's not much question at all what there's life throughout the universe. We're not alone in the universe. I'm so sure we're not alone.
Across the gulf of space, mind immeasurably superior to ours. God is good.
Fly by the comets, visit asteroids, visit the moon of Mars. There's a monolith there, a very unusual structure on this little potato-shaped object that goes around Mars once in 7 hours. When people find out about that, they're going to say, who put that there? God put it there.
You are in the Night Zone on BlogTalkRadio.com.
The flashes of light. I never had control over the flashes. They are so tormenting. When a word was spoken to me, the image of the object would appear vividly, and sometimes I was unable to distinguish whether what I saw was tangible or not. This caused me great discomfort and anxiety.
Like a flash of lightning, in an instant, the truth was revealed.
Nikola Tesla.
Watch for the Night Zone special, Nikola Tesla, coming soon. You are in the Night Zone on BlogTalkRadio.com.
Average age of the young American serving in uniform today is 20 and a half years of age, making him about 10 months older than his grandfather, who would have served in my war. He's a high school graduate. He's a volunteer. He is brighter, better educated, better trained, led, and equipped than any soldier, sailor, airman, guardsman, or marine of any country in history.
Take time to remember those in the armed forces on active duty. The reservists are service members who have fallen in the line of duty. Consider law enforcement officers, fire and rescue personnel, individuals involved in national defense. Think of those fearless men and women who put on a uniform every day to make freedom possible. Because there is no freedom without hope and without those willing to fight for freedom. We ask that you give in 2010. Give like you've never given before to our military, our police, our fire departments, our paramedic services, our nurses, our doctors, our teachers, anyone. Give like there is no tomorrow. Give. Make it a part of your world.
Phone lines are open. 347-324-3287. 347-324-3287.
Hey, Night Zoners. Got a minute? I'm sure we all know someone who is experiencing difficult times during this recession, either with unemployment or financial problems, or in relationships. I have friends like that. I would like to remind you that we are all in this together. So if you have friends experiencing hardships, support them with your advice.
If you have acquaintances who are having rough times, nurture them with your friendship. Show them kindness. If you have family members who are having difficulties, show them your love. And if you have people in your life who have almost given up, throw them a lifeline of kindness. Remember the golden rule, but for the grace of God, go I. Blessings upon your household. Until then, next time we meet.
This has been a Night Zone production in association with BlogTalkRadio.com.